inherited economy is on the brink. Now our economy is literally the envy of the world.
President Biden, during his 2024 State of the Union, said under his policies, the American economy is literally the envy of the world. But with the cost of everyday items consumed by Americans up by 18% since the day he took office, does the economic data support President Biden's claim? I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we are going to discuss the factors which are contributing to this rise and if it is fair to put the blame on President Biden. Let's get started. President Joe Biden has two obstacles standing in his way of re-election: his failure at the border and the crippling inflation caused by his self-termed Bidenomics agenda.
That's Bidenomics.
Now, central banks around the world are lowering borrowing costs as global inflation eases for most emerging economies. Yet with most Americans paying more for everything they consume on a daily basis and interest rates at a 23-year high, economists are baffled as to why the American economy is not even in a recession. Now, inflation stood at 1.4% the month Biden took office, and then skyrocketed to 9.1% in June of 2022, all before falling to 3% a year later. But it has been stuck near the still elevated rate since the president's critics have also dubbed this phenomenon Bidenflation. Now, with record interest rates sitting at above 5%, the economy has come to a standstill.
Inflation is still too high. Further progress in bringing it down is not assured, and the path forward is uncertain. We are fully committed to returning inflation to our 2% goal. Restoring price stability is essential to achieve a sustainably strong labor market that benefits all.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell claims recent high inflation has made it less likely we will see interest rates cut in the coming few weeks and months.
The recent data have clearly not given us greater confidence and instead indicate that it's likely to take longer than expected to achieve that confidence.
And initially, the Fed had predicted 3 rate cuts for 2024. But the Fed wants to see inflation lower to 2% before they make any more cuts.
Reducing rates too soon or too much could result in a reversal of the progress we've seen on inflation and ultimately require even tighter policy to get inflation back to 2%.
Without those cuts, mortgage rates are at record highs, and getting a loan can feel almost impossible. Developers are halting new construction while business and apartment buildings stand empty. Meanwhile, food, groceries, gas, rent, and every other day-to-day item continue to skyrocket, making owning a new home and even having children feel out of reach for some, making the American dream even more out of reach. Meanwhile, there's illegal immigrants are given luxury condos, credit cards for essentials, and free education in our public school system without paying taxes. Some cities like Washington, D.C. are now allowing those illegally in the country to vote in elections. Well, let's discuss. Joining us now, our political commentator and radio host, Garland Nixon, and tax attorney and chairman of the Americans for Fair Taxation, Steve Hayes. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the show today. I want to start with you, Steve, on this one, because inflation continues to be a big problem in the U.S. Do you think it's fair to blame all of it on President Biden?
A lot of it. Not all of it. I hold the Congress somewhat accountable as well, because even though there has been a move by many Republican members, not very many, but the Freedom Caucus primarily, to reduce spending, there really hasn't been any appetite to bring spending down. And you see that things are being passed through Congress, the continuation. Yes, it's less than the president would have liked, but it's still there. But I think you have to look at this great increase in spending, federal spending, and the debt as a large reason. You've got people paying on average $12,000 a year more that are having to finance things than they were 4 years ago. So you've got prices up in a lot of items, hundreds of items, by over 50%. Some of the prices that didn't go up, there are fewer of the same, fewer Oreos in the package than there were before. Shrinkflation, reduction.
Right.
So what you've got is a situation where I think A lot of it's coming from the top, from the president, but I think we have to spread the blame equally around, because you've got a lot of people who are participating in what I believe is going to be a race to the cliff and over the cliff.
Well, that's the thing, Garland. Do you think a lot of people actually realize this is happening? I mean, we can say inflation's there. Do you think they're actually noticing it? Because it's just a few pennies here, a few pennies here. Where do you think people realize that inflation is really taking a large impact, like you said, $10,000 to $14,000 annually out of their normal household budgets?
Absolutely, because, you know, amongst friends and neighbors, that is the most significant issue that I hear discussed. The cost of things, the price of common goods that they need, you know, household goods, fuel, et cetera. So I think that that is a, it is significant to people. I think that what we're seeing is, with the Biden administration, an administration that focuses everything on their crazy world hegemony plan to, you know, contain China, Russia, whoever, and that part of what we're looking at is backlash from that, whether it's fuel prices, whether it's issues with China, rather than focusing on how they can make life better for the American people, they're just spending money on weapons, taking actions that are detrimental to prices at home.
So you would obviously advocate for more policies here in the United States centrally, but is that kind of a pipe dream? Do you actually see Democrats or Republicans actually putting money back into the American economy when it's so much easier to spend it abroad?
Well, the fact of the matter is, if we're honest, they have completely abandoned the American economy. The ruling elite at this point have, I mean, politically, ideologically, are not aligned with their constituents. In particular, I would say more so the Democratic Party than the Republican Party as a whole, and the element of the Republican Party that has aligned with the Biden administration, they have no focus whatsoever on the needs of the American people. And I think there's going to be some significant prices to pay for that come next November.
Well, that's the thing, Steve. We are in an election year, and as you talked about,
yes,
the latest budget bill adds up to more than $1 trillion being added to the U.S. debt that has been passed by Congress. Do you think the U.S. Congress actually knows or even cares about the inflation issue besides just a campaign speech?
I will tell you what I believe, and Garland mentioned this, the elites, you know, that famous, not famous, but infamous, perhaps, Rasmussen poll showing that of the elites, which he defined, I believe, as making over $150,000 from one of eight universities, living in a metropolitan center, they routinely admit in the poll, like 60-some-odd percent of the politically active ones, it's okay to cheat on an election. And the reason behind this is because they know better than we do. They're the ones that are advising people, because people like you, people like Garland, people like me, we're just not smart enough. Because if we were smart enough, we wouldn't question anything they do, because it's all being done for us. So I think Garland's absolutely right. The big problem, and it's not even talked about, which is funny, but a lot of the people advising members of Congress are advocates of what's called modern monetary theory. Under modern monetary theory, which actually was developed in the early 1900s, deficits don't matter. As long as you spend money for infrastructure and things, and taxes are only used to control inflation. So you've got a lot of these elites in there advising members that are telling them, don't worry about the deficit. It's okay. Don't worry about it. But you see interest rates going up to finance the deficits. You see a huge shift down in the number of foreign countries that are willing to bet on the U.S. by buying long-term debt. We're becoming a situation where the Fed is forcing all of us individuals to compete with government bonds for finance. And obviously, government bonds are going to be at a much better rate because they're supposedly guaranteed.
Well, it's interesting. Okay. Steve just brought my next point on this, because what role is the Fed playing in everything that's going on right now in helping to give us remedies to actually tamper down inflation?
Well, see, the problem is the Fed only has one tool. You know, it has one tool for a very, very complicated problem. It can raise and lower interest rates.
I was thinking a printer. That's the tool.
Unfortunately.
They can just print money.
Well, they don't even need that anymore. They just need a keyboard. They
okay.
just put, you know, put a period and lots of zeros behind it. But
right.
I think what we're looking at also is what the government is spending on. You know, if the government actually, let's say they put money in the infrastructure, schools, things like that, at least you get a multiplier effect. You get a better educated workforce. You know, know, you get things that you can transport equipment with, better railroads. But when you only spend it on military, like they do, on military products.
Which is a large part of the American budget.
Exactly. Well, the problem is when you make military products, you can store them or you can blow them up. They are inherently inflationary. So even the spending they're doing, though they're claiming that it's going to create jobs, it is inherently inflationary. And might I add, if it were going to create jobs, which it isn't, the jobs would be in the future because the military-industrial complex does not have the ability to produce the things that they're purchasing in the immediacy. So the money goes into their accounts and they say, yeah, we'll get to this stuff in a couple years. Meanwhile, we'll keep this money and buy back our own stocks or something like that.
Well, once again, it's just circulating amongst itself. Steve, that's the problem with all of this. It's like if you're the elite that we were talking about, they are living in a whole different world than I think what most people are having to deal with. So therefore, do they have a real clue that this is going? And do you actually, the Fed said that they were going to actually cut three times this year. Now they're saying they're not. Do you think a rate cut of the federal funds would actually help or hurt inflation considering where we're at today?
I think it would have a limited effect, very limited effect. If it depends on the cut. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the big problems that's confused the Fed, but I think it's fairly simple, is that the reason why we haven't had an inflation, which they were all predicting, you know, quietly, is because consumer spending has been so high. You've got record credit card debt. You've got record delinquencies. You're running out of that stimulus. I mean, if people stop buying things, you're going to see a large movement toward an inflation because companies will lay people off. You will have other people having harder time borrowing money to become more productive, which they are now, because that's the only way they can compete is becoming more productive. They can't finance it now because of the rates. So you've got a really teetering situation. I don't know if it's going to hit between now and November, but I think the credit card spending is peaking. Well, and that's been a primary impetus.
And you're very correct on that one. But the credit card debt, how much can be spent? There's not like a red line that the credit card companies are cutting people off. There's now so many great government programs that you don't work for this credit card, we'll help you get this other one. Is that a part of the issue? And have we seen this before in history?
Well, what you're saying underlines a structural problem in our economy. The structural problem is we deindustrialized and we financialized. So now the money is made off of complex financial tools that are invented on Wall Street. It's made off of... Our economy runs off debt, not off of people going into to work making something. So the question has always been, how long can we keep building debt? And I might add, we have a real estate, commercial real estate bomb. We're sitting right here in Washington, D.C. There are empty buildings all around. This thing is waiting to blow. And when that does, of course, you know the government is going to bail out all of those people because it doesn't bail out the little guys, only the rich people. In fact, maybe that's why they're so happy and comfortable and protecting the Biden administration.
They're going to protect each other. Okay, I want to take a break because when we come back, we're going to look at why America and other more developed countries are continuing to see this inflation grow. Well, it seems the emerging countries seem to have a better handle on the issue.
We need to counter the Russian state control narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez, monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays. On est en France, quoi, c'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
The first time in history, an entire country's culture has been cancelled with a very modern weapon. Cancel culture.
Dell'idea secondo cui la Russia sia il male assoluto.
E noi были в шоке.
Честные соревнования, и тут вот такое вот.
The phrase now particularly refers to cancelling Russian culture.
Нет одного секрета всего русского.
Из розетки вынимаются все.
Мы тебя убьем.
30 человек высылают, готовы к тому, чтобы собрать чемодан и домой.
What Russia's created over the past 1500 years is now questioned, harshly condemned, reviled and rejected.
Все соревнования, они вообще ставятся под сомнение.
Это было прям тяжело.
È una cosa, è una colpa oggi in Italia, anche essere un russo morto.
The list joining total condemnation grows daily and now includes Dostoevsky, Tchaikovsky and Shostakovich.
Это они теряют русскую культуру.
Настоящие русские артисты всегда будут иметь успех.
Да там люди обомлеют.
La cultura è una cultura che ha contribuito allo sviluppo di tutto il mondo.
Сегодня в 4 часа утра германские вооруженные силы атаковали границы Советского Союза.
Конечно, мы мечтали поступить в институт, и началась война. Мальчишки все пошли в военкоматы.
Я говорю, я хочу на фронт. У меня 3 брата там на фронте, а братья уже погибли.
Там не так ранены, так обмороженные были. Ампутировали руки, ноги.
Переправился на тот берег, вдруг мне кричат, ложись, ложись. Ты попал на минное поле.
Радист убитый. Заряжающий тоже убитый. Потом бух, и все, я сознание потерял.
Он просит там сестра, сделай укольчик, чтобы я умер. Вот уговариваешь его, вас ждут дома.
Коля, тебя же нет, ты же на фронте убитый. Я мама, это я, Коля сын твой, я живой.
Welcome back. I want to continue this discussion on the current economic state of America and the impact it will have on Biden's bid for a second term. And bring in now conservative commentator Steve Gill, alongside political commentator and host, radio host Garland Nixon, and tax attorney and chairman of Americans for Fair Taxation, Steve Hayes. Welcome to the party, Steve Gill. You know what? I want to go with something Garland was talking about in the last segment, real estate. Inflation in real estate, and the Fed saying that they're not going to cut, that they're not looking to cut, cut and give us another cut this year. What problem is it right now? Do you think how much of an impact does it have, the fact that our buildings are empty, real estate is soaring, but who's buying?
Well, first of all, Garland's exactly right. It is a ticking time bomb. You know, when COVID sent people home, people haven't come back, and companies have moved forward with less people, which means less space to fill, not a desire to have a lot more of those big office buildings in downtowns when a lot of people are working remote. You've also seen the impact in post-COVID and of the Bidenomics of inflation. The small businesses that are in the strip shopping centers in suburban and rural America, they're closing their doors. Even big box retailers are closing their doors. So it's a commercial real estate problem. It's an office real estate problem. And as you mentioned, with the high interest rates, it's having a big impact on people trying to buy a home or even pay rent. And as we pointed out in the last segment, the people making these decisions in Washington, they're not driving cars and seeing, you know, gas prices bump back up above $4 a gallon when it was $1.85. They're using the metro. They're not a family having to go to soccer practice and fill up a couple times a week. And our inflation numbers are artificially low because they're not counting food and fuel. The people in Washington saying that food prices aren't bad, they're not shopping for groceries, because anybody that's going shopping is getting half a cart for what they used to get a full cart. They're paying more for bread and eggs and everything else. And yet they're telling us inflation isn't really a problem
We just saw GDP numbers come in a full point less than what they expected. We've seen inflation numbers, which again, they're artificially holding down, be lower, even though they told us first there was no inflation, then that they had controlled it. Now they're just saying, well, you're just going to have to deal with it.
Great. Another number statistic that we can't trust to be accurate, manipulated again. I'm wondering if there's any numbers that come out of politics these days that we can. That being said, the Biden administration came out and said, guess what? Inflation is slowing here in the United States. But it doesn't seem prices are going down. Isn't that a good sign that what the White House is feeding isn't the truth?
Yeah, and I think we're at a point now where the people on the street are basically trusting what they see. You know, the times
over when, what they used to
exactly,
be told.
The times when the government could say, you know, okay, well, this is good or this is bad, and people would go along with it are far behind us. The trust in the government is gone. And so I don't hear people saying, well, the government said this or that. I hear people saying, lettuce was 99 cent, now it's 2.99. They're looking at solid things because they have to buy them. They got 3.5 kids in a minivan that they got to put food and gas in. And so they're going by what they see, hear, and feel on a day-to-day basis. They know how much money they're making, and they know what's left, if anything, after they get the... In fact, I would argue this. It makes people angry when the government tells them everything's okay and they know that they're hurting, they know they're being had.
Okay, in a way, that's almost good news because I do like the fact that people are paying attention, not necessarily taking the government's word straight for what they say. But Stephen, you know, inflation is usually felt most by the middle and lower class. Can Americans continue to keep up with this rising pace when it comes to the cost of goods? At what point do we see that red line of enough is enough?
I think we're starting to see it now. This incredible increase in credit card debt you're talking about, as I said in the last segment, you're seeing a lot more defaults. You're going to see people unable to even start making the minimum payments at this point. And when that happens, you have it down. Now, part of behind it's the psychology, I better buy it today because it's going to be a lot more in 6 months. Okay? We're thinking like the Weimar Republic, you know, when money was devaluing every day. But it's going to come to an end because unlike government, they can't print more money to pay their bills.
Well, that's
it comes either out of their income, they have to reduce something else. You know, Garland says taking them to soccer practice. Some of those things are going to be cut back because they only have so many choices. And that's going to happen here. Like I talk about the policy in Washington is usually being made by people who haven't had a job since high school when they were babysitting or mowing lawns in the private sector. These are people, as Garland pointed out and Steve pointed out, who've been largely protected. Did they get paid during COVID when nobody else did? Yes. Are they getting paid regardless? Yes. Furlough, they don't care. It's a vacation.
Right.
They're going to get paid.
Well, that's the thing.
And these people are making some decisions.
And they're going to get paid. But there's also the impact that's going on around the world. And Steve, I know how Garland feels about this. He's given us a little taste of his opinion. I got to ask you, what do you feel like the impact does of from America and this rise in cost and the inflation that we're having on other countries? It doesn't seem to be reducing the amount of aid U.S. is giving to other countries. Oddly enough, the only thing that's reducing is here at home.
Well, and sadly, we're borrowing billions and billions from China and then spending that money on stuff we buy from China. We're borrowing it from them and then giving them back the money. When I was working for the U.S. government at the U.S. Trade Representative's office, we were working on NAFTA, expanding trade throughout the Caribbean basin and South and Central America. And those countries would say very clearly, when the U.S. sneezes, we catch pneumonia. So when the U.S. economy has a problem, the rest of the world suffers and suffers dramatically. And there are huge red flag warnings that during the next several months, things are going to get much worse rather than better. As our inflation numbers go up, as we continue to spend, as Stephen pointed out, money we don't have, putting it on the credit card, American people are keeping pace with what they need to buy by putting it on the credit card. And they're paying 18 to 15% interest rates on that money. There is a huge crisis coming there. And gas prices are going to go up. The Biden administration is talking about releasing what little we have left in our strategic petroleum reserve to try and buy some lower gas prices as we head into September and October. You know, that may marginally move the prices down like they did last election year. But the reality is those prices will remain high. And unlike everything else, people drive around the town. They see those gas prices on every corner. They know the difference in $1.85 and $4.09, and there are big signs on every corner that the Biden administration cannot hide.
Well, it's interesting because I feel like post the pandemic, as Steve brought up, you know, COVID, these smaller countries were actually better at, I guess, financing it. And as Steve pointed out, we make stupid decisions here in the country all the time about it. You know, they made better decisions than the United States did, the UK did. France, does this mean that they have handled an economic, they can handle an economic crisis just because they're so small?
Well, and I think part of it is that they're working to get out from under the US umbrella, which has been economically predatory, which has been the IMF, et cetera, go into their countries, leave them in giant debt holes, and they're working to get out from under that debt. So I think that's one of the things that's working on their behalf. I do think that Tony Blinken is in China right now, and there's another disaster. The Biden administration are always doing something crazy. He's going to go there, infuriate the Chinese, and you know, by sanctioning their banks or something, something will happen in return that will hurt the American people. The thing to remember about debt, when we talk about debt, there's one thing to remember. We talk about owing debt, but there are people who finance the debt, the people who we owe the debt to. Those are the people that are financing the Biden administration. So they're thrilled with this debt. For all of the anger that the working class talks about with debt, the people who are financing the politicians don't want to see a change because that's how they eat.
Well, speaking of that, you know, Stephen, do you believe that America, based on what we're dealing with right now, is on a crash course for a recession? And when do you think we could see that actually physically occurring in the United States?
I think they're going to keep stimulating the economy through the election in every way they can. I think we're looking at, I mean, it was predicted it would be by now, earlier, and I don't know that's the only reason, but I think the incredible increase in credit card spending has helped offset that. I think sometime in the first quarter of next year, we're gonna see a pretty heavy cutback in a lot of things in this economy. I mean, Steve pointed out it's the GDP is down, but you know, it's hard to predict because of, when you give free money, you delay the inevitable. And that's what they're doing. They're giving free money, they're giving benefits, they're adding programs and dispersals. But I think that, you know, merry-go-round is gonna stop.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be in the first quarter of next year.
So then, Steve Gill, I got to give you the last word on this. You mentioned that they're going to release what little they have left in our oil reserves to try to bring the gas prices down close to the election. Is there anything else that will give us a fake sense of stability and calmness in regards to the economic situation in the United States that we can expect to happen in the next 9 months?
I think for the most part, everything is already baked in. You're not going to see a dramatic reduction in oil prices, gas prices, inflation. GDP is not going to go up dramatically. And as Garland mentioned, we're over with Anthony Blinken threatening China and their banking industry for them doing business with Russia. We're threatening India that if they keep buying Russian oil, we're going to put sanctions on them. That'll drive up gas prices. Everything the Biden administration is doing is making things worse. And just by an example, GDP in Russia is about 2.6. Ours is 1.6. Their inflation is about 7. Ours is real terms about the same. And that's with them having to face sanctions. We're destroying the world economy in addition to our own, and it's going to get worse rather than better. And Stephen's right. The real shoe's going to drop right after the election. We're going to pay the price for these fake means of trying to cover up how bad Bidenomics actually is.
Well, there's more common sense being spoken, I think, on this panel today than down the street at Pennsylvania, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I want to thank you so much for joining our panel, Garland Nixon, Steve Gill, and Steve Hayes. I think it is foolish to say the economy cannot be predicted. Granted, a crisis can always have an effect, but in modern times, the responsible action would be to be prepared rather than solely reactionary. If we have learned anything over the past few years, when it seems we have overcome one crisis, there's going to be another one just around the corner. The difference is if a politician uses the crisis at the moment for their own benefit. Printing and releasing large amounts of money with little accountability to the public might win you votes in the short term, but creates an economic mess which sadly is felt longer by the people than a president's term in office. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this has been your 360 View. Thanks for watching.